certain things. Thank you. We find our text this morning in the 38th chapter of the prophet Isaiah, the book of the prophet Isaiah, and from verse 9 unto that 20th verse, we have what is described here as the writing of Hezekiah, king of Judah. And what we have here, whether or not he was transposing this or giving these words to a scribe, might even have been perhaps the prophet Isaiah himself in the first instance. But anyway, the prophet has taken hold of this, and he tells us that it is the writing of Hezekiah, king of Judah. I was searching through the Hebrew text to see if I could detect, and with my little knowledge of Hebrew, I couldn't detect a definite article there. And so there is a sense that I want to emphasize this morning, a writing of Hezekiah, because you see, he makes a confession in the this 20th verse. The Lord was ready to save me, therefore we will sing my songs to the stringed instruments all the days of our life in the house of the Lord. And he speaks of his songs. And therefore I just mentioned that his songs would be other writings other than this one. I did once, at least it was a gift of my dear wife to me, I had a very thick volume of the Authorized Version, King James Version, it was that thick because it was interleaved with notepaper. Every other page was a page of notepaper. And I noticed in that version, it was a Cambridge reference, the usual Pitt Minion reference, which I have in this one here. And I noticed in that particular edition, the word the was printed in capital letters. And I was wondering now, well, why did they print this letter in capital letters, the, in the beginning? Was it just a break in the paragraph? I then had a thought, I will look it up in the Septuagint and see what the Septuagint says. And much to my amazement, I saw that the whole of the verse in the Septuagint is written in capital letters. And if one freely translates that, it is the work or the poem of Hezekiah. And somehow I thought, I wonder what it says in Habakkuk 3 verse 1. And so I turned up Habakkuk 3 verse 1, and believe it or not, I found in Habakkuk 3 verse 1 again the whole verse printed in capital letters. And I noticed that the first three verses there were exactly the same, the first three lines, the words in that text, was exactly the same as the three words here in the Septuagint. And that expresses again the prayer, the work, the poem, translated literally, the poem, or the work, if you think of poio, is to work, the work of Hezekiah. And then you notice there that when you read it of the work of Hezekiah, it looks as if it's a kind of a psalm heading. It speaks of the word Shigaleth. And that word is taken from the root, which means a very great continuous crying. and sobbing, not necessarily crying in work, but a cry in the heart that cannot be put into words. And in that sense, there is a parallel and akin, as it were, in the experience of Habakkuk with the experience of Hezekiah, because you see, he has been crying out in his sickness, crying for deliverance. And beloved, we have in this word here, this writing of Hezekiah, and in the foregoing part, what is labeled for us as this chapter, we have here one of the most comforting things that the Lord speaks to Hezekiah. And I want to say here that here is a unique statement. For God says to Isaiah, in verse 5, "Go and say to Hezekiah, thus saith the Lord, the God of David, thy father. I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears, I will add to thy days 15 years." And here is the uniqueness. We have time and time and time again, "I am the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob." Many times, to many people, always reminding them of the covenant promise to Abraham. And here we have, and the only instance, as far as I can find by using a concordance and looking through the scriptures, the only instance of anyone being told, "I am the God of thy father David." It's so rare, you see, that we hardly come up with it in that sense. And here, Hezekiah, in his point of death, for he was sick, even unto the point of death, we have him here. If you see, in this sickness, we read that he turns to the Lord. He hasn't strength to get off the bed, but he has the little strength that he has to turn to the Lord. He can't go up to the house of the Lord, but he turns to the Lord. And God sees that, and the Lord answers him. And the thing is this, he remembers the covenant, the promises that God gave in renewing his covenant, giving it especially to David, telling him that indeed for him there would be a son to follow. For God had promised that to David, that one of his family, one of his line, would one day come. And we know that ultimately that one is indeed the Lord Jesus Christ, with that New Testament designation of indeed the Son of David, giving unto him an everlasting throne, the throne of his father David. And here we have Hezekiah at the point of death, God seeing the predicament that he is in, seeing that he has truly called upon him for mercy, answering, assuring him that his prayer has been heard, and what he desires shall be given unto him. One could go through many places in this particular chapter to the end and speak about the very place or the condition that's in the heart and spirit, the inner depths of the inner man of Hezekiah, and the Lord has had mercy upon him. He says that whatever peace he had had in verse 17, behold, for peace I had, instead of peace, I had great bitterness. It was just not a vacuum, as it were, with no peace. In the place of peace, there was something that was absolutely full of great bitterness. And here we see the Lord coming to him and reversing that completely. It would have been something if he had no peace and nothing, as it were, there at all. Just no peace. But there was great bitterness. But thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption, for thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. And you see, here's the very, 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 very first beginnings of peace. And you know, so far as we experience it, the peace of God always comes from the first beginnings. When the woman came to Jesus and touched the hem of his garment, we read in that verse that Jesus said to her, there's the word ice in the sentence, go into peace. And there was for that dear woman down the road, she followed in the way that the Lord would have her to go, there was a continuing of peace upon peace upon peace upon peace. And David the psalmist knew this. And his exhortation, you see, is seek peace and pursue it. And that doesn't mean seek peace and keep on pursuing it until you find it. If you seek, you shall find. Seek peace, and then, having sought peace, go on continuously in peace. And what is the ministry of the Holy Spirit? To keep our hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of Christ Jesus, our Saviour, so that the peace of God, which passes all understanding, might keep our hearts and minds, and that indeed we might know of that peace as the arbiter, the referee, the one who's keeping the game in order, as it were, the umpire, the one who's keeping the game in order, so that we might go from peace to peace, so that we might go from peace to peace. And the one thing Hezekiah would learn is to be led on from peace to peace. Yes, indeed, he did some foolish things, of one of which we might see in verse 39. But do you know, in verse 39, we see the overruling completely of Hezekiah's folly. He comes and shows the enemy king who wants to make peace with him. He comes to show him all the treasures. He shows him all the treasures of the house of the Lord. And we think now that there's going to be a great tragedy. And there's not a great tragedy in that sense. Yes, yes, all the treasures of the house of the Lord are taken. But, what happens because they are taken? They are completely preserved. And when the time comes indeed to return from the exile, and to return in the triumph of the Lord their God, their deliverer. They bring the whole lot preserved back again. There might have been some, I don't know, some sort of ritual cleaning, cleansing. In that sense, it didn't really need to happen. These vessels were consecrated unto the Lord in the Old Testament way of doing things, to be used in the worship and praise of His most holy, most glorious name. And He who had been watching over them had seen that they were brought again. The Lord wanted them to be used because He wanted His people to use them rightly in the way of His ordination, ordaining, in the way of His setting things down, because He was longing with all His heart for His people to come up unto the house of the Lord. That's the reason why I ask for that hymn. We love the place, O God, wherein thine honor dwells. Now Hezekiah is going to have 15 years added to his life. Yes, and here we see him coming with this saying. He says, the grave cannot praise thee, death cannot celebrate thee, they that go down to the pit cannot hope for thy truth. And then he says, look, the living, he shall praise thee as I do this day. The Father to the children shall make known thy truth. And beloved, he's thinking of himself. And for whatever reason, Hezekiah is childless at this time. Yes, the Manasseh is going to come. Yes, we might think of Manasseh coming and of the things that are a great disappointment and the things that are a downfall. But look what he says. Look, he speaks of this. Look, the living, and there's this emphasis. The living. It's a, you know, in Hebrew, that is this repeat. Awake, arise. I think of that word in arise, shine, for thy light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. The Septuagint does say this, you know, shine, for thy light has come. And here it is, the living. And this speaks of the living ones that are in his loins, the living ones of which he has seed to generate. And you know, there's going to be a time for him to be childless, but there's a time. Because you see, down the line, hey, let's take a, it might be, spiritually speaking, a quantum leap from Manasseh to Josiah, spiritually speaking, a quantum leap. But there is a leap. And this young lad, whether he's ruling as a regent, whatever he is doing, he's coming with authority as a little child. And a little child shall lead them. And he brings reform Hezekiah brings reform. Hezekiah brings the grits with the measure of revival. Brings reform. In and because of the reform, the nation, the kingdom, once again, is brought back to that place, worshipping God. Our beloved, this is an expression. Do you know, there's as much, as it were, of a picture here that we can get, as it were, into the very bowels and the makeup of Hezekiah as there was in Abraham. Because the one ultimately down the line who shall come is He, our most blessed Lord Jesus Christ. And wonder that Hezekiah speaks of singing my songs to stringed instruments all the days of our life in the house of the Lord. And beloved, I trust that this word of the Lord is an encouragement to us today. God is amongst us. The greatest evidence of Him being amongst us is His peace in our hearts. And that is the thing that causes us to be kept by the power of God unto salvation, keeping us the Holy Spirit, keeping us in the knowledge and love of Christ Jesus our Saviour. Now then, this is the time to end this particular message this morning, and I do pray that it will be of comfort and encouragement to every one of us. Amen. I must confess, you know, that the hardest thing that I find is choosing things for a meeting. I do, except when it comes like that. If we are to sing another hymn,